So you throw miracles at them and they try to, you know, they give you a natural explanation and you might think, well, but they shouldn't do that. Right. I mean, you've just given them the evidence, the facts. Right. He says, but when people will not accept the evidence for what you say it is, even when you're right and even, when they will not accept that evidence as proving what you think it proves, he says that they're well within their intellectual rights not to accept it, which is surprising, yeah. Right? Why? He says, I'm not saying that they are within their spiritual rights, nor is he saying that they are within, that they're right, period, right? He's saying that they are within their intellectual rights, and here's the key, given their naturalistic assumptions. Mm-hmm. So based on their assumptions, they shouldn't accept what you have to say, right?
Right. And so this fits well with what we're told in the Bible, Romans 1. It's what we're told to expect by preaching the gospel. It's what we've come to expect, again, with all these are presuppositions of what we claim to hold on to, which is the Bible is the foundation for truth and life. And we expect God to monergistically have the free rein to choose who will come to him. And he does this by a supernatural means. And so this is what we come to expect. And we preach the gospel because it's the only way by which man comes to saving faith.
Right. And so you have to get at the presuppositions, their worldviews. And what he's arguing here is that facts really don't do
right.
that.
Right. And so we can hold the facts. We can
And we should know the facts.
And it's what we're told to do. For anyone that comes, you be ready to give the reasons for why you have. And those include facts. Paul tells to go to the 12, the 50, the 90, the 500. These men saw the resurrected Jesus. It wasn't, it wasn't solely based on, Jesus is the foundation for all knowledge. And so that's the only place you can go. No, go to the minimal facts. Go to the maximal facts. Talk about the inner workings of Scripture. Show that the fulfillment of prophecy occurs from Jesus. That's be back. He talks to the Bereans and says, "You've done good. This is exactly what you're supposed to do."
Right.
So all these things can help to it, but we have to understand our ultimate basis for what will ultimately change people's presuppositions. And within the non-spiritual realm of things, we can do that as well, but we have to understand there are things that people come about. If you want to just only believe in intelligent design and you come up to an evolutionist, there's going to be clash until you get like a Berlinsky who says, I'm looking at it through a naturalistic worldview and these things coming up as bonkers.
Yeah.
So even when we're not talking about the basics of fact, this is still good for when we talk to people about abortion or when we talk about economic stability. Ultimately, as Christians, we want to say Jesus is Lord of all that. And so we would always tie it back to that as well. But if we're going to base assumptions here, just throwing at people, well, the fetus is conceived at conception, it's opposite DNA. Well, that doesn't seem to do much all the time. We have to understand of where they're coming from. And ultimately, we would argue that it's a spiritual heart movement that needs to happen there. But there are atheists who also believe in pro-life, so there's that. But as Christians, we believe, and I'm sure that we are right, because why wouldn't you believe that you're right, that people must work overtime to miss the significance of the facts and what they tell us about God and about truth of the Bible. They must work very hard. And this is what the Bible tells us. And we as believers in the way, in the book, in the words of Jesus, this is what we would come to
believe. Romans chapter 1 says that they have to suppress the truth in unrighteousness in order to say that they don't believe it.
And so atheists will come up and say, oh, but you just believe that we're faking our unbelief. Well, first of all, that's a misreading of Romans 1. But when we properly explain what we mean by Romans 1, we would say, yes, we believe what the Bible says, ultimately. But within their philosophical systems, they are intellectually within their rights to treat the facts you present them in the way that they do. And so don't be surprised about this. And so what's going to happen? We need to do something more than present the facts. We need to go after the philosophy by which people accept and interpret facts.
And so that's what he wants us to see, right? It's more than just facts. It's the underlying philosophical commitments that people have that we must, you know, go after, right? Those presuppositions, those assumptions that they have about the way the world is, their worldview, that's what we have to deal with, is what he's trying to get us. And not just pour facts on people, because they can deal with the facts within their worldview. They'll either dismiss them or have a rescuing device or some way to deal with all the facts that we think are really important and that show the case, and they do, but they dismiss them or, you know, give us rescuing devices because based on their worldview and how they have their presuppositions.
Right. Going back to, you know, how many facts do you need to convince your wife is cheating on you? There's so many rescuing devices that there are just so many defeaters that could topple somebody's worldview over, and they say, okay, I don't believe in punctured equilibrium anymore. And so life didn't arise by lizards giving birth to birds all of a sudden. It just didn't all happen. And so I'm changing my mind. But when we talk about the basic level of things like who are we, what's life's purpose, all these things, as Christians, we can present facts and people can have changed hearts from there. But it's always grounded in our assumptions of what the Bible says, is that presenting these facts as truth, because all things are God's truth, we are presenting the gospel and God is using our words as his message. And I always talk about the light source and the light bulb and where the conduit that it runs through. And so we're presenting facts, we're presenting worldview, we're presenting philosophy, and we're presenting ultimately the gospel message, which is the only means by which people can be saved. And we should believe that because that's what we claim to believe. And so presuppositionalism, while people might find it goofy or not true or just the lamest thing possible, this is working under the guise of the biblical worldview, and this is the first expression that we are acting out in our faith, which is to say all facts are God's facts, and we don't let anyone say Christ is not king over photosynthesis. He's Lord of all, and so that's what we're doing.